This is called measuring things close up. My father ran away and joined the circus when he was 14. And I told somebody this just the other day. It reminded me, so I decided to read this poem. First, he had to water the elephants. And at that time, it meant carrying a lot of buckets of water. And that's, with a bunch of elephants, that is an awful lot of buckets of water. And then so he got promoted to being the dog-faced boy in the sideshow. He's a very handsome guy. If I'd been half that handsome, my life would have been a great success. And then he became an acrobat. Then he quit and went back home. Came from a well-to-do merchant's family, but he was the black sheep. Especially after he married my mother, who was a daughter of a North Carolina sharecropper family. Wonderful woman. And wonderful with each other. Terrific. But, so the circus always had, I didn't know. I mean, I would see, he'd take me to the circus, and he would go over and talk to the clowns and other people, particularly one clown, which I found out years later was Emmett Kelly, the most famous, what did I know? But I would go to this circus with the big tents out, real, the old tents, the great canvas tents, like revival tents, out on the dirt, straw dust, and set them up in the dawn. And for some reason, I remember the first year that they had Hawaiian guitars. This wasn't the Ringling Bar. This was more like a carnival circus. And they drove me wild. There was like I was talking about paradise, I could almost hear something. I could almost like, when I was a child, they had this thing about lightning was cracks in heaven, and if you look quick enough, you could see into paradise. And I worked on that because you have to train yourself because you can't stop to think. It's like First for Lights On, if you ever played that game as a child. You have to do it without thinking because there's not time to see through into heaven. So you have to learn it as an instinct. And still to this day, occasionally when lightning comes, I'm not thinking so I could look through. The Hawaiian guitars was like, I could almost hear the answer of what I was looking for. And I'd go, I'd spend all day just roaming around waiting, because I didn't money. As a little kid, I don't know, 14 maybe. And in Pittsburgh, that's young. Maybe here it's young, too. It's not young in New York. And then I would hear the sound, and I'd go running as fast as I could over to this girly show, which is where they were. It's called Measuring Things Close Up. This is a longer poem. And it starts out with the different elements. It starts out with the elements of Greece, and I just came from teaching in Alabama last year and stuff. And you'll forgive me, the word nipples occurs in the poem, but it's male nipples. It's like the strong man. In those days in the sideshow, one of the things was a man would put hooks through his nipples and he would lift great iron weights. Very impressive. To a 14-year-old kid who was not brave. Measuring things close up. The world is announced by oregano and thyme and sage and rock. This is the point, you know, that you can hear a sound, you can see them through paradise, and sometimes walking the mountains where I was living at the time this poem was written, there was another island I lived up on the top of the mountain. And the oregano and thyme and sage grow wild, and the summers are fiercely hot, like I guess here sometimes, and everything is burned dry, except for the oleanders, which I see you have here, which are silly, that kind of landscape, to see pink oleanders, such a sentimental color. The world is announced, that is, you kind of know that you're getting close to the world. The world is announced by oregano and thyme and sage and rocky places high up with white doves higher and the blue sky above them. Or women's voices in the lemon trees below and the bright sea far down under that. A discontinuous exigence that is the world. Reading Paradise Lost in Alabama and thinking of lingerie. Or the boy in Pittsburgh, the only year he was nine, prowling near the rusty railroad yard where they put up tents and the man lifted anvils with chains through his nipples. The boy is listening for the Hawaiian guitars that make him shiver as he runs across the new sawdust to see again two women on a stage above his head, indolent and almost naked in the ordinary daylight. Reality stretching thin as he watched their painted eyes brooding on what they contained. A thing he did not understand, but even then knew was on the other side of flesh somehow. As the music was contained in the mute guitars, while the grinning man told lies about what was inside that tent for only 50 cents. Now, all these years later, a door opens into somebody and we enter to find a sound, maybe like striking two stones together in the mountain silence, or the noise of buildings burning, the heart in its plenty hammered by rain, and the need and memories everywhere, trapdoors and tunnels, thunder and yelling inside me, empty streets where abandoned taxis are not listening to the lights turning from red to green and then red again. Walking all night through sleeping Paris, visiting the missing hotels where I lived in my 20s, thinking how we get into bed with God in order to participate in that size and fail and yearn forever after to fail that importantly again.